Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Welcome everyone here to the Thriving Marriage podcast. We're excited and grateful to have you coming back here to the Thriving Marriage. We are the number one podcast for couples and marriages in the world. So thanks to each and every one of you as we continue our mission to help thousands of couples create thriving marriages. My name is Heather Cho. I'm here with Mark Johnston. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm doing well. You know, we had a little bit of technical issues getting this started, but we got it rolling. So everything's good now. Right?
Fingers crossed. Yes. So in this episode, we're going to be talking about signs of abuse in a relationship. And we're going to share with you what not a lot of other marriage counselors, coaches, maybe other marriage gurus have before. And we really want you to come away from this knowing what abuse really is and what it is not, and what you should do if you find it is happening in your marriage. And then I want to make sure that you guys stay until the end, because we're going to give you a powerful guide to uncover signs of abuse and the next steps to take if you've identified that it is going on in your marriage. Before we get to that, though, we're going to share our client win of the week. Mark, you want to share this one?
Sure. Our client here is saying she had a win today. Shortened backstory, she says, we have been sleeping under separate roofs for several months now. He's in the camper in the backyard. We had a conversation a few months ago about physical contact and that right now we weren't going to show that because of where we are on our journeys. He's just starting his healing process, lots of trauma, PTSD he's dealing with, and she's been working on things for a year. Today, he's going out of town for work and I told him to drive careful, like I always do when he tells the kids bye, and he asked for a hug. I know it doesn't sound like much, but this was a major win for us. I really have to thank the coaching and Daphne. Daphne is one of our coaches here with High Thrive, with a lot of her recommendations and talking me through things. Can't wait to finish out my coaching sessions.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah. Excited to see those signs of progress there for sure. All right. So right off the bat, let's talk about what abuse really is and what it's not. And a very important thing that we want to share right away. So the number one priority in an abusive situation is to be in a safe situation. And so while Mark and I are going to share some strategies and some signs, we don't want you to take this as us recommending staying in an abusive situation. At High Thrive Coaching, we believe that if there's any kind of physical or sexual abuse, then you need to make sure that you get to a safe place. You know, as we all know, relationships are complicated and there can be many things going on that fuel situations where abuse happens, which is why some might see abuse come and go. And one, you know, why some people may see, like staying and fighting and fixing things may be an option. So today we're going to talk about signs that there is abuse and what to do in abusive situations. And if you guys want to know more about that, then let us know in the comments. And we're always open to receiving feedback and making sure that we give you guys the best help possible. So Mark, we've helped tens of thousands of couples now, right? In the last 6.5 years that we've been doing this. And we see a lot of degrees of, you know, sometimes people calling something abuse and it may not be. And then situations where actual abuse is going on and they aren't even actually aware of it. So along that whole spectrum there, what have you seen about what's going on with abuse and why we really created this podcast episode for you guys?
Yeah, well, exactly like you're saying, is I see some situations where abuse is happening and it's downplayed and they're saying, well, you know, my partner got angry, or, you know, this is normal, or oddly enough, like not an uncommon one. We don't often think about it in this way, but I've seen like cases where the wives are getting very physical with their husbands and this is downplayed or discounted or dismissed, like, oh, they're not going to do much damage anyway. I can take it. I'm a man. Mm-hmm. I also see other situations where the relationship is labeled as abusive when the reality is not, it's not quite that way. The reality is closer to something like, okay, there's frequent disagreements or there's poor communication and it's being misinterpreted as something a little bit more nefarious or, you know, some sort of misunderstanding with really leading to some really charged beliefs, you know, and I'll hear things like, he never lets me go out. I can't be myself. I always have to check in with them if I want to buy something. And I talk to my clients and they're like, I have no idea where these complaints are coming from. You know, if she wants to buy something or if he wants to buy something, okay, that's fine. Or if she wants to go out, he wants to go out, I have a problem with that. And like, this is what I'm getting at is we sometimes the label of abuse is really something else, where it's the disagreements or miscommunication is blown out of proportion. And it seems like abuse when there's a lot of willingness to work things out or to receive feedback or to provide support or whatever it happens to be. And so that's what we're aiming for here, everyone, is we're trying to like clear up some misconceptions. We're trying to help you to evaluate your own relationship and say, okay, is this a healthy situation to be in? Or is this something I need to take a closer look at and maybe talk to a professional and see what are my options here? And that's really, I think, the two camps that I want to clear up, those two things right there.
Yeah, sounds awesome. So what are some maybe situations that might be labeled as abuse, but they actually aren't? I've heard this said a lot. And like I said, if there's physical or sexual abuse going on, that is absolutely like crossing a very clear line. And we'll get even more clarity on that here in a minute. But there's a bit of this gray area around like emotional abuse and narcissism. We're going to go deeper into narcissism actually next week. But I hear a lot of people saying that, oh, they're emotionally abusive. And when you actually look at most situations, when the marriage is really struggling, you're all kind of being emotionally abusive because you're all upset and you're all doing things that are hurtful and you're all saying things that are hurtful. And so if that's what you're calling abuse, well then, yeah, we're kind of all guilty of that. But there are some times when there actually is real emotional abuse. And so when Mark and I hear that, we always want to get clarity on what's actually going on because sometimes you guys are saying that this is abuse and it really isn't. It's narcissism and it actually isn't. So Mark, what have you seen as far as people, you know, maybe labeling some situations as abuse, but it really isn't.
Well, and don't get us wrong. I want to clear something up before I explain that. In no way do we want to dismiss or, you know, downplay some serious concerns. You know, what we're trying to do here a bit is we're trying to say, hey, there's a lot of these situations where, really all that needs to be done is to clear up some communication. And a lot of this, you know, quote unquote abuse that might be happening would really dissolve and go away and not be a problem anymore. So, you know, I've seen a lot of, to your question, you're saying, okay, well, what are some situations that are labeled as abuse, but maybe are not? I've seen things where, you know, even my own clients, they're like, okay, this is an abusive situation. And when I really dig down into it, it's more like, okay, that person is unhappy. Mm-hmm. They've been unhappy for a long time. They feel like their partner argues with them a lot. Or they, you know, I've seen situations where they feel like, okay, there's a lot of misunderstanding because there's some desperate actions going on. You know, you mentioned this, like when there's a lot of problems in the marriage, sometimes we all can be guilty of some amount of abuse. Like one instance that I can think of was where my client was really kind of holding steady and wanting 50-50 custody in as they're talking about custody arrangements with the kids. And this was being labeled as abuse because he was trying to take the kids from her. When all he was, you know, when between him and I, we were saying, no, well, a big motivating factor is he said he wanted to be there as a father. But this was labeled as abuse. So we get a lot of this. And, you know, I want to keep saying this over and over again. We don't want to downplay things. We just want to make sure that solutions are going towards the right things and that we are actually resolving the real issues that are going on. And this gets us to the actual definition of abuse, because I think that's really an important factor when we are like evaluating these things. If we just simply go to I know this is a bit cliche in these sort of situations, but if we just go to the dictionary and say, okay, what does the dictionary actually say about this? Abuse is any action that intentionally harms or injures another person. And I would say in a lot of these cases, that's not what's going on. The intention might be to, you know, hold on to your role as a parent, or the intention might be to, you know, make sure that you feel heard. And so you raise your voice. And I'm going to say this, raising your voice does not necessarily equal abuse. You might be going into a situation and trying to set some boundaries. I've seen people setting boundaries, that being labeled as abuse. Even though it sucks and it's not fun to go through, you know, these situations just, it's not, you know, I would say most of the time that in the cases that I'm talking about, you know, there isn't intentional harm here. So, like, we're talking, you know, here's the simple definition, Heather, but there's a lot of, like, you know, I don't know if it's just me, but I feel like us as a society kind of, it's a more complicated issue, right, than just is there intention of harm.
Right. Agreed.
Oh, I mean, if we're evaluating like what is abusive or what's not, what are some things that we might want to consider?
Yeah. So some of the things that we look at is that, you know, is this chronic? Is this harm being done? Is it chronic? Is it ongoing? Or is it an isolated incident? Right. When we get into fight, flight, or freeze modes, we all tend to react in low value ways. And so taking that into consideration, right? Is this a single event, or is this something that continues to repeat itself? Is it one of those unhealthy cycles? Another thing we look at, is there an ability to discuss what has happened and to give or receive feedback, right? If your partner is very closed off, or you're very closed off and you can't actually talk about what happened, you can't give and receive feedback, we look at that as well. Is there an effort to make changes to adjust abusive behavior? And we've seen this a lot, Mark. Oftentimes, when you peel back the layers of what's very unhealthy behaviors, we'll see that there's mental health issues that might be going on that maybe haven't been addressed yet or haven't been addressed properly. Sometimes there's addictions going on. And if they're actively making efforts to adjust that abusive behavior, we take that into consideration as well. And then, of course, the severity of the abuse. And is this abuse, or is it just misunderstanding, right? Is it an intentional harm, or are we interpreting it as intentional harm?
So, I mean, when we look at all of this, it's a lot more complicated than is it intentional or is it not? I think, you know, a lot of us weigh some of these questions in our mind when we are judging the situation as well, because it certainly would be a lot more clear cut if this is something that's happening over and over again. I know like a very common sort of idea within this sort of thing is like there's a cycles of abuse, and you know, you go through like an abusive moment, then there's usually a honeymoon phase, and then there's like a ramping up of things, or you know, like, and we go, that's almost to be expected in abusive situations. A large part of like what we consider abuse is if it's very one-sided, and if, you know, if there's a lot of control or coercion or a lot of negativity going one way. But, you know, certainly if there's some ability or willingness to listen to the other person, to hear some feedback and actually do something about it, I think most of us would agree that that's less likely to be a situation that should be labeled as abuse. And this is like a little bit of what we're getting at is a lot of these situations that might be called abuse with some small adjustments could actually be something very different. And it's always something to consider when we are talking about, okay, is this a marriage, a relationship that really should just be cut out, and you know, you should find that safe place and there's nothing to be done about it, and you need to just prioritize getting to the safe situation? Or is this something that where you can apply some fixes here and really make some big improvements?
Right.
Like, so when we're looking at this, you know, we could even complicate this further. There, we could talk about, like, there's other behaviors that might be a little bit less harming or perhaps unintentional, but still are harmful all the same. I don't know, like, and I do think that some of these situations get mislabeled as abuse, but, you know, I'm thinking here, Heather, about things like controlling behavior, withholding affection, questioning. Like, I've heard this once, like, okay, my husband questions what happened when I went out with my friends for drinking. That's abuse. Or, you know, some intense jealousy or isolation. And a lot of those things might be present in abuse, but like a lot of these things might be approaching some abuse. I don't know. What are your thoughts on some of these kind of side behaviors that we might see in these situations?
Well, I think this is probably where like 92% of the population lives, if not 100%, at different times, right? And really what is at the heart of it, what's coming to my mind is the drama triangle that we've talked a lot about, right? We're scrambling to get needs met, and we're going about it in the best way that we know how, or the only way that we know how, right? And we're trying to get our needs met. And all three of those roles, whether you're the victim, the persecutor, or the hero, you're employing some form of manipulation to try to get needs met. And it's always an unhealthy way of doing it. And any of those could be seen as abusive, you know, if you're going to look at that, like, I'm trying to harm you. But I think the intent behind it really isn't so much about I'm trying to harm you. It's more I'm trying to get needs met, and I don't know any other way than to do it. For instance, if the victim's like, oh, woe is me, you need to save me, and everyone always hurts me, and it's not my fault, that's their need. They're sucking energy from the hero to try to get their needs met. And the hero says, oh, I got to rescue. I got to show up. I got to give. And then when that doesn't work, I'm going to get resentful about it, right? So we step into all these different roles. And of course, the villain is probably who most people think of an abusive situation of saying, this is how it is. And I'm going to make things happen. I'm going to make sure that my needs get met here. And they bulldoze people and you know, things like that. So what's coming to my mind is that when we're playing in any of those roles, it's a very dysfunctional pattern, and we become very used to it. And so it's interesting when we take some of these isolated things out and we label that as abuse, is that as abuse, but really all of it is just really unhealthy and dysfunctional. And that's where most people are in their relationships. And that's why I love what we do, is we help teach you guys how to get out of the drama triangle and out of those unhealthy cycles and patterns. I laughed about that with my husband a couple months ago when we realized one of our cycles going around the drama triangle a little bit. And I was like, it's like we became functional with our dysfunction, right? We kind of made it work because we just got used to it, but it really wasn't the best. And we just kind of made it work for several years because we didn't want to rattle the boat or whatever. And we didn't want to look under the rug. We just want to keep the issues there. And then we realized that why settle for that, right? And learning how to step out of the drama triangle. So it is a confusing topic, right? There's a lot to this. And there's a lot of different expectations and criteria, different way that we're brought up, the way that we look at things. We pick up something from social media or from a sitcom or from our therapist or whatever, our best friend. And we're like, oh my goodness, that is abuse. They're emotionally abusing me because they're controlling me. And they say, I can't have 50% custody of my kids, or because I can't you know, make this financial decision because my spouse wants to take care of the bills, they're abusive, or because they don't want to work on the relationship with me, or because they are emotionally withdrawn from me, that's abusive. And then it becomes a narrative that we can use to say, I'm justified here in what I'm doing because they're abusive to me, right? But if we really look at everything, is anything actually being resolved by labeling those behaviors as abusive when they may or may not really be, right? Well, so there's a lot that we're trying to cover. And I hope that this is coming across with a lot of compassion, but help you get that clarity that it's not always abuse. And when it really is, what we should do about it. That's what we're hoping to bring across here. But it is kind of confusing. Mark, why do you think it's a confusing topic for a lot of people?
Well, I mean, we could even take something like physical discipline. You know, I would say, you know, if we go back like 50, 60 years, that was just a common accepted practice. I don't know about you, Heather, growing up, but like, you know, I grew up with a family with 8 kids. And I can recall, like, I would get swatted on the bottom. My mom had a wooden spoon, and it sounds barbaric, but like sometimes I get hit across the bottom with a wooden spoon. Like, here I am as a well-functioning adult, and I'm looking back and I can kind of laugh at it because, you know, it didn't really cause any lasting harm that I can tell. But, you know, that was a certain kind of upbringing that I had, like, hey, a little bit of physical discipline has its place. Mm-hmm. And so like, if we go into situations like this and, you know, I'll admit, I have a little bit more acceptance of that. And so, especially with, you know, I'm going to say I'm guilty of a spank or two here or there with some of my kids. I have 5 kids myself. And, you know, if they're completely out of control, that might happen. And then we have a talk about it, like, hey, what's going on here? And at the same time, I know some people who would really define a situation like that. They might say, hey, that's an abusive situation. Where, you know, I'm talking to my wife and I'm talking to my kids. I hope none of them view it as such. You know, I haven't seen anyone, you know, within my family labeled as such. And I very welcome them to talk to me about it if they felt like it was crossing that line. But my point here is it's really confusing is because a lot of people have different expectations and different upbringings and different values and a different criteria of what is or is not okay. And I think that's like the big thing, like when there is confusion on this topic, why there's confusion around the topic is the expectations that we bring into a relationship. I know for like me, myself, with my relationship with Jennifer, we've had a very firm stance, and we talk about this, like, okay, we're not going to speak to each other with unkind words. Like, if there's going to be some issues, we talk it out. And so we've made these expectations very clear. I'm curious if, like, how you and Ben handle this sort of dynamic. Has this come up at all between you and Ben?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's stepping out of that drama triangle and all those dysfunctional patterns that really don't serve you and how to do it in a new and better way, right? So that we become creators. But specifically, yeah, we definitely grew up with different backgrounds, different parenting styles, different conflict resolution styles. In my family, it was not really okay to tell someone that they hurt your feelings. In Ben's family, it was definitely acceptable that you could talk to them like, hey, mom and dad, when you said that really hurt me, or brother or sister, when you said that really hurt me. I grew up where you just kind of bottle it all in until it just explodes, right? So we came at those different, conflict resolution in very different manners, and then learned how to step out of all of the unhealthiness and dysfunction, or at least most of it. We're getting better and better. I'm not going to say we're completely there, but to better and higher levels of how to talk about things. What makes you feel safe? What makes me feel safe? What makes me feel unsafe with you? What makes you feel unsafe with me? And a big thing that was a no-go for Ben was any kind of well, I'm just going to leave, or I'm just done here, right? Me pulling away, kind of saying threatening words like that was very, very damaging. Whereas I grew up, that's just how you kind of got what you needed. Not going to say it's the best, because it wasn't. So I'm just being vulnerable here. But, you know, when we go into the drama triangle, we manipulate. And sometimes it's passive aggressive, and sometimes it's full out aggressive, right? Sometimes it's full out unhealthy. Sometimes it's more subtly unhealthy. For Ben, he would withdraw and put up walls and emotionally retreat, you know, and do the silent treatment. And that's a very passive aggressive form of showing me, hey, what you did really bothered me, right? And so either one of us could say that that was abusive.
I've actually specifically seen people label it as such, kind of behavior, which, yeah.
Right. But if you really look at the heart of where we were coming from, neither of us were intentionally trying to hurt the other one. We were more trying to get needs met and help the other person understand what we were going through. And so as you're going through your own relationship, I encourage you to look at, is this an ongoing thing? Like, is it really chronicle? Is it the way that they were raised? Is it the way that I was raised? What are our different values and expectations about this, right? What are their expectations? What are my expectations? What crosses that line of I feel safe here? Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest marker. Not saying that every time they cross the line of safety, it means they're being abusive. It means that there's an issue that needs to be resolved. And are they willing to resolve it? If they're unwilling to resolve it with you, and there's that unwillingness to give and receive feedback, that's when it becomes a much more challenging situation. And that's when it much more closely approaches the abuse situation. And when, if they're not willing to change and stop this unhealthy, dysfunctional, hurtful behavior that makes you feel truly unsafe, that's when you need to then pull away and get to a safe situation. So I hope that that gives some clarity. Mm-hmm. But it's a beautiful thing when you can take those touchy issues and those challenging issues and work together to resolve them. And so, you know, looking deeper here, asking yourself, is this really abuse? Again, is there that ability to discuss troubling or concerning behavior? Mark, how have you seen that that's so important to be able to have that kind of give and take when we're talking about dysfunctional or even abusive situations?
Well, and this is the big thing here. Like, you know, in abusive situations that I have seen, pretty much universally, there are some things that are going on, and, you know, or not going on, I should say. And one of the big things is feedback. If there's enough room to have discussion, to talk about what's going on, you know, I would say, I mean, there's still situations where that could be going on and there's still abuse, but it's not as often. So if you're looking at your situation and saying, okay, do I need to look at this a little bit deeper? Do I need to examine this further? You know, that's a big factor. Can you actually discuss problems and concerning behavior with your spouse? Some other things to consider, like, are there extreme reactions to simpler or reasonable behavior? You know, I'm thinking of a situation where one of my clients was talking about having gone out to, like, for some drinks with some friends. And when she got home, her husband was yelling at her and accusing her of, like, of cheating on him. And she had no idea where any of this was coming from. And, like, this is a situation that, yeah, we had to look at. Okay, how much, you know, is this abuse, and to what degree? And, like, is this something that you want to stay in? We might also need to look at, like, are there extreme views or extreme interpretations of simple and reasonable behavior? Is there an ability to say no, that you don't want to engage in something, you know, whether that's some sort of sexual interaction, or even just, is there an ability to say no when and walk away from a situation if they're coming at you and attacking you verbally? Mm-hmm. Like, it seems to me like that big factor in all these questions that I'm asking is the input from both people, is there some room for that? And almost universally, if the answer is no, I would say, hey, that situation is much more likely to be approaching abuse.
Agreed. And changes, right? the changes to address the behavior and to put some healthy boundaries in place to allow the relationship to heal and allow both people to become healthier and more functional. I'm thinking of some examples, and we posted in the Thriving Marriage Facebook group if a marriage can recover from abuse. And there weren't a ton of answers, but those that I saw, you guys were saying no, like there's no way to ever recover from an abusive situation. And I would say that that's a bit of a myth, because Mark and I have seen former abusive situations recover, but it does require a lot of external professional help to get that to a healthy place, right? I'm thinking of a client that was involved with drugs and was then abusive to his wife. And then he became sober for a year and they were separated in that time and had a restraining order and all these things. So all these boundaries, very strong boundaries, are put into place. And then as he became sober and went through therapy and worked with us, then he got to a place where now he had changed that behavior and, you know, the drug abuse that led to some physical abuse, and then they were able to work it out. And so I'm not going to say that 100% it's guaranteed that if there's been any kind of abuse that the relationship is doomed forever, because we're human beings and we all evolve and we all change and we can all grow and become better. It really depends on their willingness to look at themselves and willingness to change. And like Mark said here, the ability to give that feedback and the ability to say no and to not engage in something. So if those things are going on in a good way, then we can definitely shift to a healthy situation. So Mark, what are people really looking for in relationships? So the opposite of abuse, we know we don't want that. What are people really looking for in relationships?
Yeah, I think it's helpful to describe things like, okay, what do we not want? And what are we looking for as signs for abuse? But like, I don't know. I think a big objective for you and I, Heather, in creating this is we don't want to just say, okay, let's cut out some problems. Like, what are we aiming for in a marriage? And we don't just want, you know, the marker for a healthy relationship is not just, hey, there's no abuse here. Right. you know, if we're looking for the opposite of this, we're looking to have situations where that can have some open dialogue. We're looking for relationships that allow and support each individual to make choices for themselves. I think like one of the big things that I value about my relationship with Jen is there's a lot of room for us to be our own person and for that to be appreciated and supported. And that it feels nice. Is there an ability to discuss and share instead of reactions and intense negative emotions? I can see so many people shut down when, you know, they want to open up and they're just met with a lot of criticism or complaints or, you know, problems and just being able to discuss things. And then we can even take some of that like aggressive energy that is sometimes in abuse and, you know, move it in a more positive direction towards protection, for fighting for each other, for, you know, some active or proactive support. But like, these are, once again, things to consider if you're saying, hey, these things that should be in a healthy relationship, it's absolutely not there. And if anything, maybe the opposite, this is a situation that you should probably be looking at a little bit closer and maybe talking with a professional to say, okay, is this an abusive situation? Should I actually be staying in this situation? What is the kind of help that I could do if I want to stay in here and try to see if there's something that can fix it? What can I do to turn it around? And I think it's always good to have that outside perspective because, you know, you say it all the time. It's like, you can't read the label from inside the jar or something.
Yeah. When you're inside the bottle. Yep. Exactly. Yeah. That's it. And so, yeah, thank you, Mark. So if you're wanting to talk to a professional about this, encourage you guys to get a free call with us at highthrivecoaching.com/apply. And we can help you identify what's really going on here and what the best steps to take forward are. So today we talked about what abuse is and what it isn't. If there's any kind of physical harm, sexual harm, that is absolutely an unsafe situation and you need to get to a safe place immediately. from there, if there's a willingness to work on things, if there's a willingness to make some changes and to put in some healthy boundaries to heal the relationship, then that's something that may be a possibility for you. It takes a lot of guidance, though, and a lot of expert care to handle the situation correctly. It's not a do-it-yourself, rely on your friends' advice. And unfortunately, even a lot of quote-unquote experts out there really don't know how to handle and navigate those situations correctly and carefully. So I encourage you guys to be very mindful of who you're taking advice from and how you're going about the situation to make sure that it's the healthiest possible. If you guys want a powerful guide that goes through these different questions that Mark and I asked today to uncover if abuse is happening in your relationship and then what to do about it, then comment me. So if you want that guide, comment me. If you don't want to comment publicly, that's fine. You can private message Mark or I on Facebook. You'll find us there in the Thriving Marriage Facebook group. And we will be happy to give you that guide as well. All right. So if you liked this, if you found this helpful, give us a thumbs up and make sure you subscribe to see how we help couples save their marriage from divorce. Now on to our marriage mythbuster, Mark. Neurosis or personality problems ruin a marriage.
And I would say, you know, okay, if we're going into like what is myth and what is fact here, you know, I would say that there is some amount of truth to this idea, as in, I want to make sure that we're all on the same page. When we're talking about like neuroses or personality problems, you know, like I'm just going to label this as general mental health issues. We'll put it under that umbrella. But if we had to be a bit more specific, just so everyone is aware, like personality disorders, it is a category of like a mental health issue and tends to be more long lasting, more permanent sort of issues. Not to say that they can't be adjusted, but that's the tendency that like why the label is out there. But like I said, in terms of this myth, there is some amount of truth to it. Mental health issues and especially personality disorders have a high ability to complicate relationships. And I think that's the key word that I want to use here is that they complicate things. I have clients currently, some of them have self-professed to have diagnoses ranging from ADHD and depression, anxiety disorders, eating disorders. I've seen people on the autism spectrum. These are not diagnoses that we're handing out, but these are things that, you know, clients have shared with me that they are experiencing. And certainly like anything like this that is worthy of a diagnosis is going to complicate a relationship. But to say that there isn't an ability to navigate that is also untrue. I think, you know, in my opinion, most of these things lay somewhere on a spectrum. And even an individual who might be dealing with like a depressive mood disorder, there might be periods where they're really stuck in their depression, and other times when they're managing it really well. And I think it's important in a marriage to be aware of what these complications are so that there can be support and there can be some amount of adjustment to accommodate for these things. But there's, you know, example after example after example, there's, you know, people all over the place that take these situations and create a healthy, happy life with a partner. I would say certainly there are some diagnoses that are going to really present a lot more challenges. I'm not even going to touch some of the more serious diagnoses like things like schizophrenia or other crazy, I shouldn't use that word, but other like really extreme sort of situations. But as always, I think that if people are approaching it aware of what the issues are and where you need to make some adjustments and where some extra support would be appreciated, I think that there are many situations that could be navigated successfully.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. So my friends, as we conclude here, I just want to give you guys some hope, because I have seen generations of abusive patterns heal in my own family and my husband's family. And that is always our hope and our intention. So if you came from an abusive background, then, and you feel like maybe you have some of the same tendencies, that you just kind of react in the same ways that things are modeled to you, or your spouse came from an abusive background, or you feel like this may be even going on in your own current relationship right now, to really focus on your locus of control. What do I have control here? Who do I really want to be? Where do I really want to go? And how can I learn from these challenges and become a better version of myself? And as you do that, you not only bless your own life and become healthier and happier and safer yourself, but you also bless future generations to come, which is an amazing legacy to live, to give, to live and give. So thank you so much for sharing that with us, Mark. Again, if you're experiencing the things that we just talked about, I encourage you to join our Thriving Marriage Facebook group, or book a free call with us at highthrivecoaching.com /apply, and you can get started right away. So next week, we're going to share with you signs that you are dealing with a narcissist, which is often kind of goes hand in hand with this abuse issue, but we wanted to go specifically into narcissism, and it's going to surprise you. I guarantee it. So thank you, Mark. And we will talk to you guys next week.
See you, everyone.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.